The Servant King and the Servant Queen, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Queen Elizabeth today and give thanks for her life and service, we look to you and pray that you would open your scriptures to us and teach us from your word. Amen. So we had a good day yesterday with our Fordham Village Jubilee celebration out on the field and in the John Owen Barn just over there. And I do want to thank all of you who were involved in making that happen. And especially our thanks go to the Parish Council for all the hard work they've put in over the last few months to organise that. And particularly we want as a church community to thank Jackie Griffiths, who's been the organiser from our end. So well done everyone for a really good event yesterday. Our focus in today's sermon is on Jesus as servant and Queen Elizabeth as a servant who follows his example. And may we have the PowerPoint slides, Julian. The staggering truth in today's Bible reading is that God became a servant of the human race in the person of Jesus Christ. In the next few minutes, I want to explain this, to unpack it, and show how Jesus is an inspiration and guide to Queen Elizabeth in her public life. I've got 4 points to give today's talk a structure, and you can find these on page 5 of the notice sheet. And it would help me if you could have your Bible open at today's Bible reading, which we just heard. There's one under your chair, and the reading's on page 1179. So my first point for today, the great God's humble step down. In today's Bible reading, verses 5 to 11, we see a poetic description of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It may originally have been the lyrics to an early Christian hymn. It begins before Jesus' human birth and ends with his enthronement to God's highest place of authority. And it presents Jesus' life as a V-shaped journey. Beginning in heaven, leaving heaven to be born as a human, coming down the first side of the V, going to the very depths at the bottom of the V, then rising again from death and ascending to the highest place. Now, to get the wow factor of this Bible passage, you need to understand how great Jesus Christ is. If he's just a regular human being like you and me, then the wow factor is quite limited. But have a look at verse 6 with me. We're told here that Jesus is God. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Because Jesus Christ really is God, he didn't need to cling on to his equality with God the Father. He didn't need to cling to his status. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was born not in a king's palace, but laid to sleep in a borrowed manger. His first crib was an animal feeding trough. In the birth of Jesus, God humbled himself. And today's Bible reading says in verse 7 that he made himself nothing. That's a very strong word, isn't it? He made himself nothing, and he took the very nature and form of a servant. The God of heaven became a human. The sovereign ruler became a servant. This is staggering to think about. The great God took a humble step down, stepped into our shoes. He entered into the experience of the people that he has made, and he became one of us. Now, Queen Elizabeth understands this truth. And on the front cover of today's notice sheet is a quote from her that shows that she's grasped this and applied it to her own role as monarch. This is what she says. At the heart of our faith stand not a preoccupation with our own welfare and comfort, but the concepts of service and of sacrifice, as shown in the life and teachings of the one who made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. There it is. Jesus made himself nothing. She's quoting from today's Bible passage, Philippians 2, verse 7. So secondly, Jesus Christ is the servant king. And this is a key aspect of how we should understand Jesus' identity. This step down from the glory of heaven is a key part of his servanthood. But Jesus' service goes further. Verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's a double step down. Because Jesus didn't just live a regular life like you and me, and even like Queen Elizabeth. Part of his humility in becoming a human is that he went to execution on a Roman cross. And Jesus committed no crime worthy of this. Note that the poem says he became obedient even to death on a cross. That's an interesting little phrase. It says this because dying on a Roman cross was the worst of deaths. Worst in terms of pain and public humiliation, worst in terms of shame and disgrace. In his dying, Jesus became nothing. From heaven to human, then down right to the depths, the most humiliating of deaths, before his resurrection and ascension. And his death was an act of service for our benefit. This is how Jesus explains it, as recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man, and when he says that, he's talking about himself, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ, the great God of heaven, stepped down to serve us. And he describes giving his life on the cross as a ransom. By this, he means that his death brought life and freedom for many people. Let's think for a moment of the practice of paying a ransom price to buy freedom for a prisoner of war. Today, prisoner exchange or prisoner swap is the common practice, as is taking place in the Russian-Ukrainian war at the moment. A swap, prisoner for prisoner. But in the past, in the days of knights on horseback and moats and drawbridges, often a ransom of money would be paid to free a prisoner of war. The ransom price was greatest for the highest ranking individuals. And hence we get the phrase that's still used today, I paid a king's ransom for that. Now often it's used in a rather trivial way, you know, talking about filling up the car with petrol or the shop at Sainsbury's. I paid a king's ransom for that. But here we're talking more seriously about a real king's ransom. Jesus says that he gave his life as a ransom for many. And by this he means that his death was a swap or an exchange. On the cross, Jesus paid a king's ransom to buy us freedom from our debt to God. Freedom from our trespasses and sins, freedom from God's right judgment against our wrong actions and thoughts, freedom to have life with God, to know him, to love him, to worship him. Jesus self-consciously saw his death as an act of service. And he calls those of us today who want to be great to follow his example and to be servants as well. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That's the extraordinary truth at the heart of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the servant king. And this is the way to follow him today, the way of discipleship. Queen Elizabeth has grasped servant leadership and sought to live it out during these 70 years of her reign. So my third point is that Elizabeth is the servant queen. Jesus is the servant king, and Elizabeth is the servant queen. Lord Michael Farmer recently wrote, "How has our queen been able to be so consistent and gracious to all her subjects over these 70 years? The answer lies in her continuous confession of her trust and reliance on Jesus her Saviour and God her Father." In her Christmas broadcast from 2012, the Queen said, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." So here she is, specifically quoting Mark chapter 10 that we just heard a moment ago. She's endorsing Jesus' teaching about service. And earlier this year, on the eve of her accession to the throne, the Queen wrote to the British public, "As we mark this anniversary, it gives me pleasure to renew to you the pledge I gave in 1947, that my life will always be devoted to your service. And so I look forward to continuing to serve you with all my heart. I hope this jubilee will bring together family and friends, neighbours and communities, after so many difficult times for so many of us." Queen Elizabeth, even at the age of 96, sees herself as a servant queen. She's an example to us of a leader who's dedicated her life to Jesus' model of service. And this is surely something to celebrate. This is something to give thanks to God for. So I praise our servant God for giving Elizabeth, a servant queen, to our nation. And as I come to finish, what about you? We have the example of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and teachings. We have the model of Queen Elizabeth. What about us? Will we be servants? And this is challenging. It's easier said than done. And I, for one, know how far I fall short of this. It's a topic I need to keep returning to. So for my brief final point, I invite you to write your own name into the script and your own work. The space on page 5 for you to write your name and some aspect of your life. So for me, I would write Francis Blight, the servant pastor, or Francis Blight, the servant husband, or servant father, different aspects of my life. Will you write your name in and seek to live as a servant like Jesus did, like Queen Elizabeth does? And I think we need to recognize that this is aspirational when we write this, because we never quite get there, do we? I don't know what kind of work you do or where all of you go to school or college, but God calls us to be servant accountants and servant construction workers. He calls us to be servant plumbers and servant mothers and servant students and servant teaching assistants and servant web developers. Whatever your work, whatever your study. So if you have a pen, I invite you to do this. Or alternatively, take your notice sheet home and you could take a moment to think about it sometime later today. This is a challenge to us as we look to apply this bit of Bible teaching to our lives. Paul's purpose in putting this poem about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 was as a model to the Christians he wrote to originally, the church in the Greek city of Philippi. And have a look with me as we come to finish at his lead up to the poem. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. He wants the church members to have a humbled attitude when they think about each other. Verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We're to serve others in the church community, not just meeting our own needs, but meeting other people's needs. And then verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus' attitude was that he didn't cling to equality with God. Instead, he made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant, even to the point of death. So on this special occasion of Thanksgiving for our Queen, we remember that this is also Pentecost Sunday. And we now turn to God in prayer, asking that he will empower us with the gift of his Holy Spirit to have the same servant attitude as Jesus Christ. So let's bow our heads to pray. A moment of quiet for you to think and pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we seek you on this Pentecost Sunday for the empowering of your Holy Spirit. In your grace, fill us with the same servant attitude as Jesus Christ. Empower us to consider others better than ourselves. And fill us with your Spirit to look to the interests of others. And today we thank you for Queen Elizabeth's example of servant-heartedness, and we thank you for her reign. Amen.